Blog Talk Radio.
Of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which, by the way, is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. That's 1:30 in the afternoon every Sunday. Once again, it's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and worship with us. You will be blessed. You'll meet some very nice, loving, caring people, and you'll just be blessed. So come on and worship with us, okay? All right. So now, for right now, I want you to text or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Let me repeat that, 646-668-8537. Or you can just look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram, and either dial the number or just click on the link, okay? And you can listen to us. Now, on Facebook, you can listen from your computer. On Facebook, you can click on the link or on my picture or on the picture that's there on the post, and you can listen to us all week, you know. Keep going back and listen to the entire program. Just click on it, and it will play the entire program for today in case you missed it, okay? All righty. So now, and remember to tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. We're on HSBN.TV. You can always catch us also on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us. You'll be blessed with that as well. The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on HSBN.TV and many other apps as well. So go ahead and do that when you get a chance, and you'll see us and listen to the messages. It's The Message of Life, and we usually we try to our best by the grace of God to bring the message from the Lord. You know, we try to bring forth by the Holy Spirit a good word of God that can live with you, that can stay with you, and will help you to wax strong and grow in the Spirit. So go ahead and tune in, as well as our regular programs here on Solar Records Radio. We have UCA Radio. That's what you're listening to today. And then on Wednesdays, we have Christian Talk. And that's also here on Solar Records Radio. And Christian Talk is hosted by my wife and myself, Tasila and T. Meyer, also known as TNT. So and that's at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. So tell your friends about it. Same phone number, 646-668-8537, and you can still listen to us from your computer. Just click on the picture or the link, okay, at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays Pacific time, okay? That's PST, Pacific time. So check your time zone. This is a worldwide broadcast. And just listen and have a good time, all right? Tell your friends and family. Don't go away. We'll be right back as we go right into the message for today. Praise the Lord. Stay right there. Don't go away. Praise the Lord. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. So now let's get right into our message for today. Today we're going to talk about revelation, habitation, and manifestation. The main three things that we need in the church today: revelation, habitation, manifestation. We need the revelation of Jesus Christ because, believe it or not, many Christians don't really know who Jesus is. Many Christians really need to know who Jesus, the Son of the living God, is. We need a revelation. The next thing is for God to inhabit us. Revelation, habitation. God, we need God to inhabit us, to live and dwell inside of us. You see, the first two things are internal, inward. You know, revelation and habitation, that's inward. In our bodies, our souls, and spirits. And then the next thing is for us to manifest the Lord to the world. This is outward, from the inside of us to the outside of us, outward. This is where we go into all the world and demonstrate the kingdom. This is when we go into all the world and show people that God is real. Jesus is truly Lord. You see, Jesus went into all the world, or he went and he proved to the people that God was real. He brought God near. God was real. He did it, and now we must do it. But we must first have these three things in operation: revelation, habitation, and then manifestation. Let's break it down a little. We must have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation. Revelation means an act of revealing, to view, or making known a hidden mystery or secret. A hidden mystery or secret. Something that is revealed or uncovered, especially an enlightening or an astonishing disclosure. God's revelation is in its broad meaning. It is the revelation of divine guidance or inspiration. It is the communication of truth and knowledge from God to his children on earth, suited for their language and understanding. You see, we must understand it. It simply means to uncover something not yet known. It means for God to unveil Jesus Christ mentally, spiritually, and physically to our very being. Jesus said that he's going to build his church upon the revelation of who he is, a revelation that can only be given to God's people by God himself. It is upon Jesus Christ, our rock, that his church will be built. Upon that rock, Jesus Christ. Let's read about it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus was so happy because he knew that God the Father gave him that revelation. That's how it will be done with us. God himself will unveil Jesus Christ to us more and more as time passes. So it's upon this rock. What rock? The rock of Jesus. It's upon Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation. It's upon this rock that God will build his church. Upon Jesus that God will build his church. But the revelation of who he is the rock. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is that only can be revealed to us through God the Father. And believe me, there's so much more to Jesus than you will ever, ever know. Jesus will even unveil himself to us so that we can see the mystery between God and Christ, like he did on the Mount. Remember on the Mount in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5? And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother. Why did he just take the three of them? Why not take all 12? But he just took the three. You know why? Because those are the three that walked the closest to Jesus. They walked close to him, and they asked questions constantly. And he unveiled things to them. He gave them nuggets of truth, a little more than a lot of the others received, because they walked closer. It was just three of them. They were like a remnant within the remnant. The 12 was a remnant out of all of Israel, but they were the remnant within the remnant. And he took the three of them and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Can you imagine that? They had been walking with Jesus, talking with him, eating with him, and going to different places and all of that. And then he takes them up to a high mountain and then literally change before their eyes. His face shine as the sun. I mean, we're talking brightness. And his raiment was white as the light. They saw the glory of God. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. They just appeared. These are people that had been dead for hundreds of years. Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, while Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He made it clear. Hear ye him. Jesus turned into the Ancient of Days right in their midst, right before their eyes, giving them a revelation of who he is. Moses and Elijah appeared before them, which is actually, which was another revelation that God was giving them. God was letting them know that Moses represented the law and Elijah represented the prophets, the law and the prophets, which is the word of God. Moses and Elijah were highly admired and lifted up in the eyes of the Jews. And in the eyes of many of them, even today. That's why Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I mean, that's typical of mankind. Let's build a structure. Let's build a building, but you have to think, God doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in people. And by Peter wanting to build three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, that was making Jesus common. If they would have agreed to do this, if the other two would have agreed to do that, the other two guys that were with Peter, that they would have been making Jesus common like any other man. That's why the Lord overshadowed Peter while he was speaking. He had to interrupt. They had to get the revelation that both Moses and Elijah was a type of Jesus Christ. In other words, their ministry, their work was a prophetic work and ministry pointed to Jesus Christ. They pointed to Jesus. That's why the Lord had to interrupt Peter and say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He said, "Hear you him. Hear him." Because Jesus was the fulfillment of what their ministry was pointing to. Jesus is the fulfillment of it. He is the Word of God. So he had to overshadow Peter and let him know that, you know, Jesus is the fulfillment of what their ministry was talking about. We can't make Jesus common. And many people have made that mistake. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. We cannot make him common like any other person because he is far, 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 far above all of that. Even the apostle that many theologians call Doubting Thomas, he received the revelation of who Jesus was when he saw him alive. Remember now, remember after Thomas and all the apostles and his and God's and Jesus' disciples actually saw the Lord die on the cross. They saw it. They saw him die on the cross. And then he miraculously appeared before them one day after his resurrection when they were all in the upper room. He miraculously appeared before them one day when Thomas wasn't there. And they told Thomas that they had seen the Lord. But Thomas said, "I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hands in his side." Remember now, Thomas saw him die on the cross. And so now they're saying that they saw him. And he was like, "No, there's no way. I saw this man die." And he said, "I will not believe unless I can see the handprints and thrust my hand in his side," because he knew that they had thrust Jesus in the side. And when the water and blood came out, they knew that Jesus was dead, or he knew that Jesus was dead. John 20, verse 26 through 28. "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus again, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then Jesus said to Thomas, 'Reach here your finger and behold my hands.'" He showed him his hands. "And reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Now this is telling us many things. Although when Thomas came the first time and said that he would not believe, the Lord was letting him know that, "I heard you. I heard everything you said." It was just 8 days ago that Thomas was saying that he wouldn't believe until he saw the Lord himself. And the Lord heard that, and 8 days later, he showed him that he was alive. But what did Thomas say after he realized it was really Jesus? He said, "My Lord and my God." He said, "My Lord and my God." Why did he say that? He could have very well had just said, "Jesus, it really is you." Because you remember now, they walked with him, talked with him, ate with him and everything. He could have just said, "Jesus, it really is you." But he called him Lord and God because he received the revelation at that time that God was right there in their midst all this time. all those years of walking with Jesus, they were literally walking with God himself. He realized that he saw God. God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Habitation is the next one. Remember, we just talked about Revelation. Now, habitation is the next one. Habitation means residence, abode, dwelling, home. Habitation means a permanent dwelling place. God wants to dwell in us, and we want to dwell in him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We, church, we are being formed. We are being built up together so that we can house God, the glory of God. Keep in mind that that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. And he shall also be in us reconciling the world back to himself in this hour. On the day of Pentecost, the Lord entered into his disciples, as it is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It's written, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. They were filled. Do you know what it means to be filled to the brim? I experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the Lord filled me up so much I felt like a big balloon being full of air. My ears was popping everything. I felt like I was going to burst. I was being filled. And the Lord filled them up. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled. That means that the Spirit of the Lord was in them. This is evidence of the mystery being unveiled to us, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Here's what Paul said. He said, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. His ministry was given to him for us to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. What is this mystery that was hidden? He goes on to say, but now it's made manifest to his saints. It's being manifest, brought to light to us, to whom God would make known, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? You see, we must make known this mystery among the nations. Okay, so what is this mystery? Here it is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Habitation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ must dwell in us. He must make his abode in us. That's why Jesus told us not to look here and not to look there for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is within us. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, they get the nerve, they're going to demand him. They were demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now think about it. If the kingdom of God is within us, that means the king is within us, because the king dwells in his kingdom. So if the kingdom of God is in you, then our beloved king is in us. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you, that continually dwell in you. In order for the prayer of Jesus to be fulfilled, Christ must make his habitation within us. He has to be in us first. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, art in me, and I in you. This is real oneness, and he wants us to share that kind of oneness, the oneness that he has with the Father. It's really one, a real one, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Habitation brings forth manifestation, to manifest means to make clear or obvious to the eye or mind. It means to display, show, or demonstrate. Jesus brought God to light. He made God clear to see because he himself was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And he was right there in the midst of them. Jesus demonstrated or manifested the kingdom of God everywhere he went. Mark chapter 1, verses 33 through 34. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. He went around demonstrating the kingdom. People could see the results of it. Jesus showed them that God is real. Remember what John wrote in John chapter 21, verse 25. He said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And he ends it with an amen. I mean, think about it. There are far more things that Jesus did that was even written in the Bible. There are more things that he did that wasn't even written in the Bible that Jesus did. And then Jesus tells us that he that believeth in him, the works that he does, shall we do. Even greater works. Think about that. He did all kind of things. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, walked on water, multiplied food, calmed an angry sea. I mean, he did many things and other things that weren't even written in the Bible. Yet the Lord said, these things shall you do. In other words, the works that you have witnessed me doing, shall you do also. And he said, and greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because he goes to the Father. So how are we doing his greater works when he goes to the Father? He returned again as the Holy Spirit and dwelt in them. Therefore, they were able to do greater works because Christ was in them by means of his Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he was the Son of God, and he could prove it. Just like when we say we are the sons of God, we'll be able to prove it in this hour. It's going to be so important that we prove who we are in this hour. And just as Jesus is the Word made flesh, we will become the Word made flesh again. How is that possible? Because his Spirit is in us. The word is in us, and we will be able to speak his word. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people received cloven tongues of fire that set upon each of them. They were filled with the Spirit. That means that they were able to speak the word of God in any language in heaven and on earth with power as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke the word of God with power. We will be able to manifest the kingdom of God by speaking God's word as well with power in these times. In these days that we're living in now, hear this, Christians. Hear us. Hear me when I speak. A great move of God's Spirit is coming upon the church. And the works that you are going to do will be great works for the glory of God, to show the world that God is real, to show the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. They demonstrated, the apostles, they demonstrated the kingdom as well. Just like Jesus, the apostles demonstrated the kingdom, as it is written in Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were in unity in Solomon's porch. The people could see and experience the kingdom realm of God. Just like people are going to see and experience the kingdom realm of God when the Lord anoints us and we are out there demonstrating the kingdom, because the apostles brought the kingdom in their midst, and we will do the same in this hour. Christians, people of God, true believers, we're going to bring the kingdom realm of God in the midst of the people, and there will be no doubt as we preach the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrate it. Jesus is going to manifest the sons of God in this hour because all of creation is waiting to see them. The world is waiting for a move of God. They may not admit it, but they want something better. The world wants something better. Don't even think about this small remnant of people that's causing a bunch of havoc in the world, that's causing these wars and these man-made viruses and trying to control the population and promoting everything that's against the Lord, sin for money and all the for power and selling the drug trafficking, the human trafficking, and gun trafficking, all of this kind of stuff. They're doing all these kind of things, keeping the world evil because they're ruled by Satan. All of this is going to be done away with. The people want to see the real. They want to see something happen, something different. They are waiting to see real anointed Christian people, not pagan Christianity. No more of this political Christianity. No more of this religious Christianity, but real Christianity. They want to see the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth. They continually wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. When the sons of God are clearly seen, they will manifest the full expression of God's love. Now, how are they going to do that? Because God will be in them. And if God is in them, then love is in them, because God is love. The sons of God will manifest God's kindness, his peace, his patience, his joy, his righteousness, and on. They will manifest the full character and personality of Jesus Christ, which is the full character and personality of God himself. The sons of God are real, powerful, anointed Christians, not religious Christians, not those that just yap, yap, yap with a bunch of empty words. This is the real deal that's coming upon this earth. Real Christians. Are you one? Real Christian? Get on that straight and narrow pathway. Don't move to the right hand or to the left, but keep walking straight, straight until you enter into the kingdom realm of God and are able to bring others into this realm as well. Keep in mind that the disciples were called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11, verse 26. And when he had found him, that's he's talking about when he had found Paul, which was Barnabas, when Barnabas had found Paul, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why did they call them Christians? The name Christian simply means a follower of Jesus Christ or Christ-like people or little anointed ones. They called them Christians because they were just like the very Christ that they preached about. They demonstrated or manifested the kingdom realm of God just like Jesus did. We cannot have a manifestation of Jesus Christ to show the world until we have a revelation of Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our bodies, our minds, our souls, our very spirits. And we can't manifest Jesus Christ until we have a habitation of Jesus Christ in us in fullness. You know, right now we're operating with only the earnest of our inheritance, a little bit of the Spirit, a little of the Holy Spirit. That's why he's on us one day and then he lifts up. He's like, that's why the Lord showed him as a dove. A dove is very sensitive. Any slight movement and a dove will fly away. But he rested on Jesus Christ and he has to rest on us. When he rests on us and in us, then we have him in fullness, in habitating. He's dwelling in us in fullness. Then we can manifest Jesus to the world. It is then that we can display, show, make obvious, present, and demonstrate the power and the kingdom of the one true living God in this world. Amen? Amen. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Looking over my yesterday, I realize I should have been there.
You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and the message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Let's keep the music going. Here's Hark the Herald by Searchlight. Hallelujah. Here's T. Meyer McCain and Tom Gilmore, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Merry Christmas.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondrous love. Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to men on earth.
Together and just did a series of Christmas tunes, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. Anyway, let's continue on with this one. I'm going to say goodnight as we end this out with "O Come All Ye Faithful." Once again, T-Mar McCain and Tom Gilmore. Praise the Lord.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exhortation. Oh, sing all ye citizens from heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let